Introducing Collide Goss, a podcast about two immature best friends who run a few businesses together and live for the goss and the margies. Join us as we goss about our lives, our work, and our friends anonymously.
There were some weird moments of like, oh, I really want to see him, but like, he's like in Switzerland, and like, he can't get his private jet here.
Did you know who he was then?
It was Justin. Yeah, he was pretty massive.
Hi guys, welcome back to the potty. I am solo. It's Monday night, 8:50 p.m. As usual, I have left everything to the last minute, but that's absolutely fine because that's how we roll. And to be honest, today's guest is so big time that I think you'll excuse the audio quality because we have Hollywood actor Luke Bracey on the podcast. And we got so caught up talking to him that we completely forgot to record an intro. It's an amazing episode. If you don't know Luke, he's been in so many movies: Hacksaw Ridge, Holiday, The Best of Me. The list continues. We've both known Luke for quite some time. I've known Luke since high school. He was a couple years older than us, and I always was like, holy shit, this guy's really cool. But Ella's also known him through Eddie, her husband. They've been friends forever, and Jarch and Luke are really good friends. And basically he moved to Hollywood at like 21, correct me if I'm wrong, you'll hear on the audio, and he's just been killing it ever since. Cannot believe he went on the pod. He was also in Elvis recently. Like, what the fuck? Got to live in the Goldie for 6 months, which is my dream. But hope you guys enjoy. It's a really good episode. So let's bring him in. But actually not, because I'm in my room.
Welcome to our podcast.
I'm excited to be here.
I know we've been wanting you to come on for a long time now. I've just been extra lazy, and I feel like I missed you last time you were in Australia. I don't even know when the last time. I feel like Byron stands out for me when we last like hung out properly.
Yeah, that was like Australia Day weekend 21.
Yeah, which is crazy. Yeah. Crazy to think about. But yeah, we've got you here. You're out on Thursday.
Yeah, heading off again.
Back to LA. And we want to, well, I know what you're doing. Steph wanted to know why you're going back. What's happening?
It's like the Oscars the weekend. So it's good chance to
just the norm,
kiss hands and shake babies and stuff like that. Well, what really happens, like nothing really happens in the business in terms of like meetings or stuff like that until after the Oscars.
Yeah.
It's funny, the year doesn't really start for some reason. There's a few like awards and it's Golden Globes and SAG Awards, yeah, and it's this and that. And so kind of, yeah, it when it comes to like setting up meetings and trying to talk to people, it doesn't really kick off until after the Oscars for some reason. So kind of going to go, it's a good time to show face and then, yeah, just kind of really have a couple of weeks of just trying to
back
do some meetings and try and get a job.
Nice. And when you say are you going to the Oscars or
no,
do you go to
I'm
the
art?
What
show.
Do you, what's involved with Oscar week? Like,
oh, there's like just all a bunch of parties kind of the week leading up.
Jealous.
What parties are you attending?
I'm not sure. There's like big one called The Night Before, which is like pretty big one.
That says it all.
And then there's
The Night Before.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's like there's a couple on the night. if you don't like, you only really go to the show if you've got something in it.
Yeah.
So then there's like Elton John holds a big party.
Oh my god. Can you tell me how like what
and then there's the Vanity Fair after party and stuff like
so
that.
So like is it like a thing you have to get invited? Like if you're an actor, like you feel, is there like one of my questions, this is what I'm more wanting to say. How do you like, is there like a cool group in the actor industry like that you want to be? You know what I mean? When you turn up to these parties, like, do you feel like weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always rock up and I'm like, what am I doing like, here? I don't know anyone. And then eventually I'll run into people, you know, and they're like, oh, I do know. Oh, hi. And you know.
And are like some actors like, surprise you at how much nicer they are than you think if they're like a big deal, like, you know what I mean, or surprise you in any way?
Everyone's pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, everyone's quite nice.
Yeah. I just always, like, I know it's completely different, but when, you know, we go to, like, influencer events.
Yes.
Like, I'm always feeling quite a bit, like, awkward and intimidated and, like, a bit, like, oh, like, I just feel like.
Yeah, it's really awkward and intimidating.
I'm just thinking about the Oscars. I'm like, fuck that shit. I'd be like, oh.
I think the approach would be to, like, take the edge off with a few drinks, yeah?
There's a lot of, like, free drinks going around.
Yeah.
But it's more just, like, you know, standing there kind of hoping you run into someone you know pretty soon and have a chat with them. But then there's also, like, I'll normally go with my manager and there's people to meet.
Oh, so you go with your manager. That's kind of nice. Like, I'll tell my manager,
we're really good mates. And so there's also people to meet, like the people there, people that are producers or people that work at studios or directors and other actors and stuff like that. So you want to kind of – it's like glamorous networking.
Yes.
In a way.
So you have to be on your best behavior then, kind of.
Yeah, you got to – yeah, you don't want to be
– you can't get, like, sloshed.
You don't want to. No, absolutely not.
But
absolutely
it happens.
Not. Well
– does it happen to some?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I remember one of the
– not you, though.
When I was really young there, 20, 21 or however old I was, and I went to one of them, and I just – it's just free bar.
Yeah,
and I was
I'd be like
– drinking away, and then kind of a little bit into it, I was like, oh – I've had a few here. And I was like, this is probably not the smartest thing to be blind drunk walking around here, but managed to hold it together. No, knock on wood, I haven't.
You probably made a few friends, so like off your head, like you're more like lubricated up to like, you know, meet people when you're that pissed.
Yeah, I mean, you want a little bit of Dutch courage, but you want to be, like, have it together. But yeah, as I said, you know, you'd think you're not going to know anyone, but I've worked a bit.
Yeah.
I've made, you know, few films, so there's people I've worked with and they're there and then also, you know, I've met friends of theirs and stuff like that.
Yeah. So no, you're always a social guy.
You're always going to run into someone, you know, hopefully, and then you can have a little bit of a yarn and take it away. But there's a lot of like, hi, I'm Luke, nice to meet you kind of thing. And yeah, it's work, but it's fun work.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean?
No, 100%. You know where I got that question from was when I listened to M. Riders.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is there a cool group?
Like, and she's big and, like, she was saying how awkward it is sometimes rocking up to these events and, like, just standing there and, like, you know, because everyone thinks, you know, like, looking around, like, oh, they'd be confident, they've done this and done that, but, like, everyone's kind of in the same boat, like, feeling a bit weird. Yeah.
Okay, everyone's been to a party. If you've gone to any party and got there by yourself and it's not, like, your best mate's birthday, you're always going to be oh, I hope there's someone here I know. I hope I haven't come too early. I hope I've you know. And then slowly but surely, like, oh, what was I worried about?
No, 100%. Well, I wanted to take it back, though, and I wanted to go back to the start. I wanted to talk about, like, how you got into acting and Home and Away and just, like, the whole movement and, you know, that got you to LA in the end. I always was under the impression from when we've talked that, like, you weren't even thinking about becoming an actor and it kind of just happened naturally. Is that kind of right?
Yeah.
Did you do drama in high school?
I did it as a subject in year 11 and 12, but because it was, like, a free period. It was really chill.
You were just going like zip, zap, zoom.
But did you know
but then also we stared at a candle for the first 10 minutes of every lesson. It was great.
Sounds fun to me.
It was so good.
What was the purpose of that?
Focus.
I love
it. Was
that.
Great. Our teacher was awesome. Shout out Mr. Goblin. But yeah, our classes were held in the foyer of the auditorium. Like, that was our classroom. Just like sit on the carpet.
I think I had that too,
We'd come in from recess or lunch or whatever period it was and everyone's kind of going,
did any of the other boys do it with you, acting or not, at Scott's?
Parsons?
Mm.
Maybe Sam did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam did, Roy Hill.
Okay, so you had a few friends in there.
A couple of mates in there. So it was good fun, but we'd all come in with a lot of energy and, you know, there's only like one or two drama classes and we're all kind of, everyone was pretty expressive and high energy in a way. And so we'd walk into the foyer and it'd just be our teacher sitting there with a candle in a glass and he'd just be sitting there quietly and we'd all kind of like run around for a few minutes and then slowly but surely, he didn't say anything, slowly but surely we'd all kind of sit in a circle without him saying anything and we'd all be sitting there and then it'd be quiet for the first time in 5 minutes.
God, he knows what's up, a room full of boys.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to just do some focus on the candle. I'm just going to do a good 5 minutes on the flame.
5 minutes.
I've never done that in acting before.
And then we'd sit there.
Did you do that?
No.
And we'd go for 5 minutes and it'd be great. And then he'd be like, really good, guys. everyone seems really focused. And then one of us would always go, oh, sir, I, I don't know, but I don't want to speak for everyone else, but I'm feeling, I reckon we could do another five. I'm so focused. He'd be like, okay, how does everyone feel about that? And we'd be like, yeah.
It's like a meditation.
And then yeah, like, it was just 10 minutes of like meditation before the lesson. Then we play some theatre games. And
that was it.
We do a bit of work. And Mr. Goblin was such a great teacher. He taught us everything we needed to know about for the performances and the essays and stuff.
So shout out to him because have you ever reached out to him
since school?
I've never reached out to him, no.
I think you should send him an email.
Be like, do you reckon he knows that you're like a full-blown actor?
I don't know, probably. I was pretty forgettable in drama class in high school.
So that's what I wanted to know. Like, were you in there being like, fuck, I'm pretty good at this?
No.
No?
No, I was in there going, I'm not nervous speaking in front of people, and I do 3-unit English, so I reckon the essays are going to be pretty easy.
Yeah, okay.
So I was playing a lot of rugby.
Yeah.
And it was just busy, and I thought, okay, this is going to be we didn't have any free periods in year 12. We had maybe like one or two a week. So it's just a chance for me to relax for 50 minutes a day and just like take it easy. And it was kind of fun. And I just thought, oh, this will be good. I'll hopefully get a good mark.
And did you get a good mark in high school? Yeah. So you did. Is that how, like, so what progress was there? I as well, correct me if I'm wrong, there was someone's dad that kind of picked you out as some being like you've got potential.
Yeah. For some reason, a guy I went to school with, his old man, he's a really well-renowned writer and producer of Australian television, did like Love My Way and Secret Life of Us.
Secret Life of Us.
Yeah.
That show.
And for some reason, he called me up when we finished school and asked me to audition for a show that he had coming up. And I don't know, I did the audition. I thought I was doing him a favor and just got called back. And I didn't know what I was doing. Didn't get that job. But then the casting director, I got back to my life.
Yeah.
And the casting director called me up 7-8 months later and asked me to audition for Home and Away.
Wow.
Did the audition.
And you got it.
Got the job.
And that was, what was going through your like head when you first like started on this whole journey? Were you like, did you have a picture of like, fuck yeah, maybe I'll be like an famous actor? Like,
not really. No, not at all.
You just didn't really know what you're in for.
I just thought, not every day do you get asked to be on telly. So like,
that was like my dream.
Why not go and be on telly?
I was an extra.
You did some extra stuff. Was it fun?
Fucking extra. Eddie and I did it together.
Yeah, it was so good.
I wish we were on one of yours. That would have been awesome. So funny.
How long were you on it for?
6 months. I thought it was only going to be 6 weeks or something. And I was working for my dad. My dad had a home improvements company, a building company. Mm. And I was working for him, and he asked me when I was going to come back to work. And I asked the studio or the channel, and they're like, yeah, no, we really like your first couple of weeks of work, so we've written you in for 6 months.
Oh my God.
Oh, cool. Sick. And then stuff started coming. I think it's like a 3-month gap between filming and airs. And yeah, my stuff started coming on TV, and like agents started calling the network.
How was all that? That
was a bit weird because I didn't really know anything. Yeah. I met a few agents and some agents like gave me some contracts, and I read the contract, and there was like spelling mistakes in it. I was like,
this is... God, you English nerds together.
Yeah, I was like, if this is a legal document, it is.
I'm not signing it. It's You'd be so like dodgy. Hamish straight in the room with the guy getting tied up.
Exactly.
That it kind of contract.
Yeah. My favorite story.
It's a great story.
But like when you first like got on that set of Home and Away, you hadn't really had any like formal training.
None.
How was that? Like, do you remember your first like?
Yeah, it was terrifying.
Experience.
Yeah. My first day was, I had this kind of 2 or 3 page like speech to a classroom full of people, and it was my first day, and I'd never really acted before.
No,
never really lines. I was just terrified, and and I was sitting there waiting to got to work, and was sitting in the green room waiting, and everyone was like, "Oh, you're the new bloke. Oh, hey man, welcome. You got that big speech today."
You don't even think about that shit, like. Yeah. And becoming an actor, like having to do all those, like, or like turning up to a set where you don't know anyone, perform the best performance of your life and you hadn't had any training.
It's such a well-oiled machine as well. It's been on for 20-something years by the time I got there. So you weren't given like, it was sink or swim.
Yeah.
So if you couldn't do it, they were like, you need to.
Can you be fired like on a set if you're not like good enough?
I think.
How does that work? If you like can't get the lines right,
like
and
if they write it in the contract or something, then well, if you're shit, you're out.
I don't know. I think they can make a decision. Like I'm never never supremely confident I've got the job until like after the first week of
Yeah. That was in my questions being like, are you like shitting yourself like at the start?
Yeah, you're always pretty nervous. Yeah. You're excited. You just want to make sure those nerves are the right kind of nerves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One of the greatest motivators can be fear and shame, right?
Yeah.
So going into something, you're like, I don't wanna screw this up.
Yeah.
I don't wanna kind of embarrass myself, and just make sure you cross your T's and dot your I's. I don't know, I've always been lucky with, it's something that I've actually had to work with and try, and I'm still not there. I'm so far from it. I'm just trying to accept the fact that I'm an actor, weirdly enough. I've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah, do it for a while now.
And it's my job. It's the only job I've had, really. And so, but you still have that weird, oh, I'm not really an actor. I don't really know how to do this, but
self-doubt.
I think everyone has that.
Yeah.
Like, I did some work with, the last job I did, I was working with some really famous big dog actors. I was like, my mum was Susan Sarandon, my dad was William H. Mason. I was working like with Emma Roberts, and her parents were Diane Keaton and Richard Gere.
I've seen them.
And I was sitting there and I was having dinner with Bill Macy, who's playing my dad, and I was just so excited because I love his work. He's awesome. He's just been doing the damn thing forever. And he was like really nervous. I didn't think I was ever going to work again. And I'm like, what? He'd just done Shameless for 10 years. He was like, I never thought I'd work again.
God,
I'm
love
like,
that show.
How do you not think you're going to work again, William H. Macy?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then I saw Richard Gere in the trailer when he was just before he started. Stunning. And I was, you know, getting a haircut or something. And I was like, hey man, nice to meet you. He's like, oh, nice to meet you. I go, how you feeling? Like, excited to work with you. And he's like, I'm really nervous. I haven't worked for like 3.5 years. I don't know.
So it's never ending. So
It's weirdly comforting to know that never goes away.
100%. Yeah.
And it just makes you work hard.
Yeah.
Like, I think the moment you go, I'm going to phone this one in, it's what
a
waste
of
time.
You need a bit of fear to keep you going. Because then obviously you did well on Home and Away and you obviously got the knack of it pretty quickly and you ended up in LA pretty quick after. How with the first Selena with the Selena Gomez. That was just my favorite Disney movie at the time. And you ended
Monte Carlo.
And you ended up taking that on and not really coming home after that.
Yeah, I finished Home and Away and I kind of talked to an agent, and shout out to Mark Morrissey. And he was like, look, you got a pretty good head, you got a pretty good voice, do a bit of work here. There's no reason you can't
go there.
Do all right in America eventually. Yeah. We'll get you to auditioning and get you some stuff. And kind of, I saved a bunch of my money at home during Home and Away. I was really good with that. Like, I didn't spend it and I saved heaps of money, so I didn't have
to
get a real
job.
You
look like a good saver.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, I think we discussed this on the beach one time.
Yeah, I'm good at not spending.
Yeah, you're like, I live a pretty simple life.
Yeah, and it's still that fear of not knowing when your job's going to come. So you got money, you get a chunk of money maybe, but you don't know when the next bit of money is going to come, so you don't want to waste it and then get to that point where like, shit, I don't have any money.
Yeah.
So you're like I still am somewhat frugal in that way. In terms of I don't buy any material things. I find it really hard for me
to. Are your parents frugal?
No, my dad can spend cash, but my mum's pretty frugal.
Okay.
I think it comes more with the job, with acting, doesn't it, as well? Like, just, is that something, and you've been doing it for so long now.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I feel like, I would put you in the category of, like, big time. I feel like some actors, like, spend hard.
I mean, I don't think it comes with the job. I think it comes with just the person, right? Like, it depends what you.
I'm saying from starting at a young age, though.
Yeah.
That mentality, I don't know. Yeah. Does that
and also, like, I moved overseas when I was 20 years of age.
Yeah.
With not much money.
That's what I'm more.
So you're over there on the other side of the world going, well, I don't really want to have to move home. I don't want to have to call my folks and ask for money.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah, it's the stress of starting it out. Yeah.
Why is it that, like, on those talk show things, like, every single actor that's made it big time, like a guy, is like, I was sleeping in my car and then I got the call. Like, every single story is like, I was homeless, sleeping in my car, ready to go home, and then I got the call.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a pretty brutal place.
Is
it? Like, it's an insanely brutal industry.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was over there and I'd been over there for a few months or something, I was staying at the back of his house. I was really lucky that my manager, like, let me stay in his tiny little converted garage in the back of his house. So I love the man. And I remember him everything I'd done, it had kind of all happened a little bit. I didn't really know what I was doing at all. Didn't know what to do. Hadn't, I don't think I'd really understood where I was. I was suddenly in Los Angeles auditioning for movies and big movies and all this happening. And he had to come up to me one day and he was like, mate, let's, you know, sit down and have a beer. We sat down at the back of his house and had a beer. He's like, this is the Olympics of what you do. And I went, oh, he's like, there are 1 million people at least trying to do what you do. So you got to act like it. You gotta work as if
there's
it's
all
the
those apartment blocks you hear about with the Disney. That's what I was talking about, the Disney, like the Monte Carlo kind of reference of you hear about all the young child stars trying to get into these Disney shows and they stay out and like
there's a famous one
like the blocks
know.
And those apartment blocks
like
and everything.
Have you heard like that? It's on like
sounds
Barham
hectic.
Avenue.
I'm
yeah.
like fuck.
I think there's a documentary on it.
Yeah,
I think there's a doco on it. I'd like to see it. But yeah, that was. I think it's a little different now. That was, you know, since before streaming services and stuff. There was this whole thing called pilot season, which was the start of the year. All the networks over there, your ABCs and NBC and all those big ones, they would commission a bunch of pilot episodes of potentially shows that could get picked up. And so you'd go and you'd just do, people would do a bunch of auditions for that. And then they'd maybe get one, but then they'd film it. And then there's no guarantee to get picked up at all. Like actually the chances of it getting picked up were minuscule. It was brutal stuff. I was lucky enough that I never really did a pilot season, quote unquote. I was
because you
always,
got Monte Carlo.
I'd filmed an American movie before like I movies, moved to Los Angeles. So, and then I've always kind of auditioned. I've always done movies. I haven't really ever
done
TV shows.
Yeah.
So I avoided that. But yeah, I know people that would. I mean, the amount of auditions they'd have to do a week, a day, and it was like brutal stuff. Brutal stuff.
I think that's the thing, like. And I think we've talked about this maybe before. Like there's always been. I feel like we've all been through stages where we've been like, I want to become a famous like actor.
Yes.
Like, when we were younger and stuff. But you don't actually understand. Maybe like knowing you as well, like the grit that goes behind it, and like it's not all glamorous. It's like fucking hard work.
It's like 99%.
You were so young. You had to move to LA, and like literally, like we're all here. Like you know, and you've just like moved to the other side of the world to like try and make it work.
It's pretty hard.
I think I've only just kind of understood that more like getting a bit older. Like I was always like,
yeah, it's not so like you're in, for example, Monte Carlo, having a few drinks, having a laugh. Like it's fun, but like I reckon the hardest ones / the worst ones from someone who's not an actor and won't ever be one is like those like Avatar kind of movies where you're just in a studio the whole time. Like
that would be brutal.
Those sick backgrounds.
Yeah.
They're not seeing them.
No, it's
they're not seeing like all the mad trees and the like what is it called? Avatar that I've lost.
You're right on. Like and a lot of films do that.
Where you're just like
with big blue screen stuff. And I haven't had to do a full blue screen movie. I've done, you know, kind of a couple of weeks of it. And it's pretty weird because you're in a room that is completely blue for like a day. And you go in the morning and you come out at lunchtime and then you go in again and then you come out and it's dark.
Yeah.
And you kind of have a headache because being surrounded by that color is a bit weird.
And doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah. And you just, you know, here's look at the tennis ball. That's your dead father.
Yeah, literally.
You're like, oh, dad.
You have to imagine so much shit and you're just like
it's so weird.
Anyway,
it
sorry,
weird.
Back to Monte Carlo. Let's
I know I want to talk about Selena
that.
Gomez. And I've already talked to you about it before because it was obviously your first kind of encounter with like Hollywood and it was a big one. Like they're big names in
she
that. And
pretty,
you had Leighton Meester in there
Corey Monte, rest in peace, Corey, miss you. He was a lovely man. And Katie Cassidy, and it was a big film. I didn't know what I was doing there.
Did you know like those like Selena and stuff?
But like I was a 20-year-old guy from the Northern Beaches of Sydney. I wasn't like the biggest Selena Gomez like aficionado.
Yeah. I remember when you got back, I think from that first when it came out, I was like, oh my God, like I can't believe you just did a movie with all of them.
Yeah,
I was in shock. I was shook. And I was like, tell me everything. And it was like prime.
I think I was more obsessed with Leighton.
I think I was, but Justin was with Selena at the time. Yes.
Oh, they were just meeting.
It was like that prime kind of like time, and they were getting really big.
When we were doing the film, it was
isn't
really
it weird?
Sweet.
Like, she would have been like, oh, I'm texting this guy, Justin. Like,
it was like having a conversation.
What should I write back?
It was like having a conversation. It was just there were some weird moments of like, oh, I really want to see him, but like, he's like in Switzerland and like he can't get his private jet here.
Did you know who he was?
It was pretty massive. It was kind of like hearing, I've heard this conversation before, but it was with like a friend of mine who was a girl and we were teenagers, and instead of like he can't get his private jet here, it was like her mum won't drive her to the bus stop. It was just like the same conversation, L90. But on a giant scale. But I was so impressed. I remember Selena must have been like 17 or not. Yeah. She wasn't quite 18 when we made that film, and the amount of work she did, she was playing two characters in the film, working every day. And then on the weekends, she was like recording an album and filming like video clips for the album. And it was just.
But she's a proper child star, like from
work like a.
She's huge.
Like, this is massive.
Well, yeah, well, it's all paid. Whatever way you want to say it, but it's paid off. And I was always kind of, looking at that, being like, that would have been a huge thing for you to be in that moment, like filming with all, like you were in Monte Carlo too. Pretty out there.
We filmed in Budapest and Paris and Monte Carlo. I was like on the Eiffel Tower for sunrise for a couple of days of work with no one around, just us. And then lunch would be kind of below the Eiffel Tower. And I was like, this is mad.
Surely at that point you're like, fuck, I've made it.
No, I certainly knew I hadn't made it because I was playing a handbag in this movie.
I would have been so stoked.
I stood next to a good-looking lady. Like, I was literally her handbag in this film.
I didn't do much, but
I had a really good time. Like it was pretty awesome, and it certainly was a really exciting.
Did you build up any fun relationships on that set?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun relationships on that set. It was a good time.
Trying to get some goss out of this one is going to be hard.
I'm such a pro at this. Like.
There were some dalliances.
I'm not sure. There might have been. I don't know.
I wanted to go off that point, though.
Wait, like, can I just quickly do something?
What?
Okay, let's pretend that I am like a reporter and I'm just going to, like, I want to see how you get out of these questions, okay?
If I'm doing like a press tour and you're the reporter.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm going to make up names because I know who you actually, I know too many things, so I'm going to make up new names. So you just did a movie with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And someone, an insider source has told us that you guys actually slept in the same hotel room a couple nights.
This is the moment. This is how I get out of this. This is the moment where my publicist, who is sitting over there, goes, next question.
Okay. So you just go silent.
I don't have to say anything.
It's like a court case. You just like sit there like you've been interrogated.
And then can they release that snippet of the...
No, because there's also a thing of being... if you're being the reporter, you got to think long term, right?
Yeah.
You want to get a sound bite out of me, but then... you've just pissed off a publicity agency that is like, well, we don't want to ever...
We'll never do that again.
None of our clients... Why would I put any of my other clients in front of you if you're just going to try and get gotcha questions and and get weird goss stuff? It's not in your best interest as
careful,
a reporter.
You're on Collard Goss.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, exactly. No, so that's kind of the thing. Like, it is a...
Yeah.
You got to understand that it's not just us who are there to get got. It's, you know... It's more important that you are interviewing us than the other way around sometimes. And so your technique of interviewing has to be a little more subtle or something than that. Yes, absolutely.
So you've got to try a bit harder.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's already trained up.
If that was a question posed to me in real life, I'd just like laugh at how kind of amateur that question was.
I think my journalistic career has just started and ended.
It's ended right now.
But I know what you mean. I mean, I guess everyone's going, why don't they just ask him this stuff? And it's like, well,
you can't.
Because
how about if you asked
no
a question like, Ella, you have
how
about if you asked a question like, so do you find, oh no, don't worry, that's inappropriate.
Do you think Taylor Swift is sexy as fuck?
And then I'd say, what a talented, charming,
like, beautiful
woman. I'm so impressed by how she's managed her career and the place she's got to. I think it's I'm not the first one to say that she's such an impressive human being.
God, you've been not trained sexy. Well, haven't you?
No, but it's the truth, right? Yeah. Like, that is the truth. I find that, I believe that more about Taylor Swift than what you said. Looks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Now you were asking something before
I was going to go into, because then I was going to talk about like November Man and stuff like that and like romantic movies and doing those kind of like, I wouldn't call that a rom-com. That's more of an actual love kind of drama by the famous Nicholas.
Oh, Nicholas Sparks, Best of Me.
Best of Me, God, sorry. I mean, no, I didn't mean November Man was your action movie with Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. God, look at me with my interview skills. You made me really nervous.
November Man, the rom-com.
You're like, what? No. The rom-com. No, the Best of Me I wanted to go into quickly though, because I've been, I think, again, Steph and I were talking about this really recently, about how you have to become so intimate with someone on set. And I don't understand, like, is it kind of like, is that something that comes naturally for you to be able to give so much emotion and not gain any feelings with that person? Or is that something that takes time working on more and more movies like that?
I think the thing is, it's not the subject matter that would potentially have you become really close to someone and have a personal relationship outside of it. It is the pure time spent with that person.
Yeah.
Mm. It's not necessarily like the type of film you're making or the characters you're playing. You could be doing a horror movie and fall in love with someone because of just the pure amount of time you spend with those people.
Like the bubble is kind of
you
like,
spend 15 hours a day with these people. And it's not necessarily the, you know, people fall in love from all different departments.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, it's like a work thing, because we always laugh about like when you've been in an office and you get like tunnel vision.
Bingo. That's
But that's what I mean. How do you like stop that becoming an actor? Is that like a hard thing for you not to fall into this like non-reality world where you like don't know who you like anymore kind of sometimes? Like, I don't know.
I haven't had an issue with that. It's always been pretty easy for me to know what the work is.
And
most of my jobs I do an American accent for, so it's pretty easy to know that it's not me doing it.
I mean? Like, feelings that you make, because it's like you're so invested in that character that you've like, you know, obviously been teaching yourself to become. Is it easy to fall into that for like a longer period than you probably want to?
Maybe. I think it makes it easier for it to turn on when they say action.
Yes.
Like the real fun bits of, especially something like Best of Me, was, you know, when you're sitting on a roof and they've got the rainmakers on and I'm like rapping on a window and she opens the window and come out and we profess our love to each other and then we have this beautiful romantic kiss and it's like, those moments are really fun. They say cut, and then suddenly you're freezing cold because it's the middle of the night and you're soaking wet. But then they're like pictures up, and then you look at each other and you go, this is so much fun that we get to do this. You don't get to do that in real life.
No. Right?
And so you get to live out your grand romantic gestures.
That never
really occur, and that's the really fun bit. And I remember that scene in Best of Me when we're on the roof in the rain. And we were cold, and I was sitting there with Liana, who's an awesome chick, and we got along really, really well. And I remember us kind of sitting there, and we were kind of cold, and I looked at Liana and go, this is the tears of the audience, like, warming us up. This is our chance to,
so
like,
you're
really
not confusing that at all?
No, I don't confuse. I haven't confused the storyline for real life.
Okay. You're a good actor.
Like, kind of... But it's also because it's so unromantic sometimes because you've got 100 people
like
looking at you.
Like everyone watching you with the cameras.
Yeah, you've got 100 people around you and then something happens and you go, cut! And you're like, you kind of...
How many... I was going to say sex scenes.
I was just about to say, how many... You know how you did that film with Emma Roberts?
Yeah. Which one?
Holiday? Yeah.
Yeah.
That really got me by the balls. I was super invested in that movie.
Holiday. It's good.
Yeah. Was it a movie or TV show?
Movie.
It was a movie. It was amazing.
Netflix movie. Thank you.
And you know when you're in bed with her at the end and you're like hooking up and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
How many takes do you have to do of that?
Hopefully not many.
Is that Orkies?
Yeah, it is. But what's happened recently, like the past number of years, is there's been a new job title that has come onto a film set, which is called intimacy coordinator.
Mm,
and that's really important.
I think that's essential. I would be very
It's insane what we used to do. Like, we it just used to be
can
like
can you tell us
a porn set.
Like weird
no,
stuff?
No, not a porn set at all. It used to be we'd all
porn set.
We'd all stand around. The actors and you'd probably get one of the PAs and nip out and get your bottle of whiskey. You'd have like a nip
oh
of whiskey.
Oh my god.
And you'd be kinda like, all right, let's like try not to do this too many times. And the director was like, yeah, we'll just try to shoot it this way, you know, a couple of takes and we'll
see,
be done with it.
Oh,
what do you reckon?
Know.
And
it was
really the most dread, they are still the most like dreaded days on work. Like reading a script and getting a job
and seeing
that you got one
scenes.
Of those scenes, you'd be like, oh, that's good.
What do you do?
And
you
like an orgasm on camera?
Yeah, it's awkward. It's weird. It's strange.
What
with
do you wear
watching.
As well? I want to like know, like, what are
don't
you
got
undies?
Wear like an
you
undies?
Like, you can, there's a number of options. There's like flesh colored undies. There's like flesh colored like skinny undies. There's socks.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's many ways. There's many ways. There's more stuff that you want kind of a flesh-colored undie with a bit of protection. Maybe.
Yes. And do they ask you like if you want to show your private parts? Don't you get like other people to do
that's
it?
That's like early on in the process. Okay. That's like reading a script and it says
show your dick.
Full fun mood. And then, you know, before you do the thing, they're going to be like, are you okay with this? And you talk to the director and, you know, I you know, it'd have to be pretty integral to the film.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean?
It's like three women.
I was watching this scene and it was so, I'm not used to, I feel like they don't really show like dicks like straight out that often on TV. And there was this intense sex scene and I was watching it the other night, did not expect it. And then they just like panned down and he just like dropped his pants and he was just like full on like erect, just like standing there as an act. Like, and I'm like, I thought
did
they-
Did the show need it?
I think it's like for the scene. It was like more of this like big thing that was happening. It's like, anyway, long story.
Because it's all about desire and sex and like
stuff like that. Yeah. But then I'm like, do you have to obviously be, I don't know if the options are you can get someone else to do it for you, don't you? Isn't there like body double, what are they called?
Yeah, body doubles, yeah, I'm sure.
And then, or you just like say you are fine with doing it, but then you have to get an erection and everything. Like, I just don't even understand.
I've never heard this. Yeah. Like, I haven't seen that movie before.
It's a new TV show. It's really good.
I've never seen that in a movie.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's very, I was like that's quite wild. Taken aback by it.
What about Euphoria? I feel like I the dad got the dick, his dick out in that.
Did he?
Yeah, maybe.
These TV shows are pretty heavy, some of them. Yeah.
I think it's a shock value thing because we're so desensitized to everything. We're just like,
I think, I mean, I got good advice from someone, which was, you know, people are always going to try and make you take your shirt off in a scene.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it necessary? Like, would this happen in real life? You know?
Yeah.
You got to try and balance up if that's a situation that would actually happen, right? If this situation moves the story forward, if it's just gratuitous, right? Or if it's just because it's a bit of skin. I think you got to kind of take care of yourself in that way. And you know, there's going to be a lot of people giving you advice and maybe for their own reasons and stuff like that. But this is where you have hopefully good managers and good agents that are there to protect you. And
are they there like watching like every scene? No, they're not
they're
there.
They're working.
They're doing
but do you
stuff
do
to
do.
In Los Angeles, getting other people.
True, I'm like, we just have no idea. We're just like so many things to ask.
It's funny, like a lot of agents will like come to set maybe for a day or so and say hello, but I tell my agents, don't bother.
Don't do that.
I don't need to be babysat.
I'm a big boy. Yeah.
You got families. Like, you got more important things to do than flying somewhere to spend a day with me where you sit on set for a couple of hours.
And just see the vibe.
Yeah.
And, like, we go to dinner. Like, I'll see you after. Like, it's all good.
We'll chat.
Like,
I'll let you know if there's issues.
Don't need to be babysat. Don't worry about it. Stay with your family. Like,
that's
it's all good.
You know how when you're, like, at school or whatever or, like, at you – I'm sure you would have this in some situations, but in like a work situation or a school situation or for you an acting situation and you're like, I have to do lines and do what it scenes with this person who is just a fuckwit and I have to like be with them the whole time. Like how do you like navigate like that?
I've been really fortunate that most absolutely 99.99% of people and experiences I've had on set with other actors have been super positive and everyone's great. Yeah. Everyone's there to
get the job done.
It's a team sport as well.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't, it is kind of a sport in the way where you're like passing a ball to each other. Each line of dialogue is a ball and you're passing it to your teammate. Then they catch it and they pass you a ball and you catch
it.
So
being supportive of everyone.
Yeah. It is like mostly a really supportive environment. Sometimes people can be late to work and can be a little disrespectful of other people's time, which is a bit frustrating. But But that's such a rare thing.
Yeah.
Like it, okay. It's main. I've by far and away, all my experiences have been really positive, enjoyable, supportive ones of a set. So, and that's kind of when you get up to the big dogs, there's no room to be a dickhead anymore.
Yeah, there's
so many people. As I said, there's
a million people waiting
to take your job, man. If you don't want to,
so you can't be divas
asshole.
On set, really.
Not anymore, I don't think. I think it's becoming rarer and rarer. And also, time is money.
Mm.
Like, you know, you got to every day you're late to work, that's more money that's like wasted. Yeah. And every time you're a dickhead, it just and also it's a small industry.
So I was gonna say, there's so many gossip.
So many
things,
people
like,
have work with
write it up straight away, like any goss, like you know.
It's like any industry, you know. Oh yeah, so and so worked with them, and they're an asshole, or so and so worked with them, they were great, and then it's just not in your interest.
No, and there's so many channels now to like voice it, like as well. Like you can't really manage. There's not like one journalist out there doing it all. There's like everyone's a journalist in their own right.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, you gotta. It's a long game. Like what, you're gonna be an asshole because you got room temperature water instead of ice cold water? Like what's that gonna get you?
Is that
gonna get you
another job? I never understand that. Like what is that?
Well, I don't know.
It's the entitlement thing, isn't it? It's so weird.
I don't know what it is. I have no idea where that comes from. I always think it takes more effort to be an asshole.
I know.
Yeah, it takes to be considered.
Well, you're born like that kind of.
I don't know. But there's also kind of People maybe have got burnt in the past. I don't know.
It's a protection thing in a way,
yeah,
maybe.
There might be that to it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not
well, you're not
sure.
one of them. That's why.
Yeah, it just seems like so much work.
100%.
Yeah.
But there are times where you have to stand up for yourself. And that's another thing as well, where, you know, as back to your journalists, and that's why you got publicists who can, they can stand up for you without you being an arsehole
pausing,
and everyone getting a little clip of you saying, "Why would don't how dare you?"
I feel like you're made for this job though. Like you're like really like hold yourself really well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I feel like I don't know, a lot of people would just be swallowed whole.
Yeah,
like, it sounds like it's like quite like a really intimidating.
I guess I'm just
industry
lucky,
to be.
Yeah, it is, but I kind of see that it's all make believe.
I feel like that's why you were made to do this.
God picked you.
The universe picked
thanks,
you.
Thanks, big fella.
I want to know as well about auditioning processes and like how does that get easier with time, or are they always just so awkward and a weird experience? Like what can you talk us through any weird experiences you've had auditioning or
maybe
first
all,
ones or that you've had off the bat?
They're all really weird. They've changed a bit now because we're doing a lot more self-tapes rather than in-person stuff.
Even them, I look at them like, you know, when people like,
they're really frustrating.
Yeah,
I find,
and you
rather
see self-tapes like be uploaded and you're like, fuck, that looks awkward.
I'd kind of rather, but the thing is I'd rather go in and do it in front of people because then
you're getting them an emotion back.
And they can give you... They can say, we love that, but try it this way.
Whereas
doing self-tapes by yourself, you're like, there's literally a million ways I can do this.
Like in your room, like doing
and also I don't really know what you, I can do it that way. I can do it
what
this
do
way.
You
like,
want? Yeah.
What do you want? And you don't know. You're just kind of getting an email and sending an email 100%. Back with it. So
do you watch back and you like cringe sometimes? Being like, oh no, I need to do it again. Like if you're in your room doing it and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes. I have no idea if I've done a good job. Like, I know when I say cut, I'm like, that felt good. Like I felt
what
like
do
I
you find
that.
Hard? As an actor, like, have you been given a script before? You're like, I'm going to struggle doing this. Like, have you had moments like that where you've been like frustrated?
Yeah.
You know,
it's a bit like when they put a lot of maybe like physical action in it as well. And you're standing in front of a gray background and it's like, where's the car? And he's like, got to mime getting a gun out of a bag and this. And, like, and you're talking to all these people. I mean, they can get pretty convoluted. And when you got nothing to play with, it's a bit weird. But I know I've had moments. My audition for November Man was, I thought I'd absolutely screwed that one.
Really? Well, that was like your first big action kind of film.
Yeah. Kind of one of my first big movies in that way. And I remember doing the audition and I did the audition. The director was there and the casting director and did a take and he was like, yeah, good. And we did it again. And then we did another scene and he just kind of kept asking me to do this second scene over and over again. And he like got the camera up and he was moving around and he kind of wasn't, bless Roger, thank you, but he wasn't really giving me any direction in between. Yeah. So I just thought I was screwing up that hard that he just wanted to get me a good one. And this was a great lesson that I learned like through a mission actually. I went, all right, thank you very much guys. And I was walking out of the door and I was so close to turning around and saying and apologizing because I thought I'd done such a bad job, and I didn't. I said, oh, thank you very much. Like, see, yeah,
nice. Have a good one. Confidence.
And I walked out, and then I got a call maybe an hour later or half an hour later as I was driving home to my place in LA, and they're like, they loved you. You're gonna get the job. Like, all good. And I was like, what?
Like, I remember you telling me
that. I thought I'd absolutely screwed that. So sometimes you just don't know.
And in the end, you became like quite good mates with Pierce. I remember we went to your LA apartment back in the day. Remember that one you had. You had a signed thing that gave you those things. Yeah. Do you still have that?
My mum and dad got it.
It's nice. I like that. See, that's sick. They'd be so proud of you. How you have all that memorabilia of like all these like amazing people you've met. Like, it's pretty crazy.
My dad tried to get me literally 2 days, the other day, I've got one of the surfboard that they ride the big wave in Point Break.
What was, did you have to do any of that? Like, was that all, mate, the surf and everything? Like, how is, that would have been, sorry, I've interrupted the story. Yeah. Go on the story. Anyway, Eddie would be listening, being like, what the fuck? You just interrupted a good story, guys.
Just finish the memorabilia one. It's like, so it's sitting kind of, it's up in the corner of kind of my parents' sunroom kind of thing, just kind of sits there. And Dad the other day goes, gets the Sharpie. He's like, you're going to sign this? And like, and so we know it's a Point Break board. And like, right. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, so, you know, it's there. I'm like, I know it's my Point Break board. Like,
I know it is. Yeah.
I'm not going to draw on it with a Sharpie. Like, no.
He's like, Daddy.
I'm like, what are you going to sell it?
Like, I think Daddy wants to sell it.
Yeah. I'm like, it's my bloody board.
Yeah. No,
I know what it is, Dad. I don't need to write on it from what it is. I won't forget what that
is. But he made you so he can sell it.
No, he like opened the cap with a Sharpie. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm not writing on it.
Sign it.
I'm like,
my name's Luke and this is
was my board from a movie.
From my big
movie. What is the best thing you've been given from a movie? Is there anything that stands out that you've been like,
yeah, I've got a few crazy things. When I was doing Point Break, the guy that played Pappas is this awesome, awesome English actor called Ray Winston.
Yeah.
And he's just a legend. And he's been in so many movies. And I remember when we were on set one day and he was kind of just telling me, he was like, hey, son, every movie you do, take everything. And I was like, oh, sweet. He goes, played Henry VIII once. There's a big coat of arms, one bar at home.
Oh my God. Like, that accent's like, so sexy.
All that stuff. It was so good. Yeah, the old East End, East End boy, Ray.
How do you know how to do all these accents? Have you practiced like over and over time, or you're really good at them just naturally?
Oh, look, I'm a little bit of a parrot. I can kind of hear something and I can get kind of close to it. But to do it really, really well, I have to do a bunch of work.
Yeah.
Like, I have to do it. I'd have to, if I got a job and the accent was that accent, I would spend,
you're pretty good at it,
5-6 weeks.
Shit, yeah.
Like, at least one, probably two lessons a week with a dialect coach, and then also doing work every day on it.
Okay.
To get it to the point where it's
pretty crazy.
Good enough to work.
Well, that reminds me as well, with Elvis. Oh, as well, which is amazing that you were in. Like, that's such a big movie to be a part of. And I just remember everyone after, like, I don't know why, but obviously it was this big thing that everyone couldn't stop talking about, was the Austin Butler, like, not dropping the accent. What was that? That's all people talked about.
You're going to deflect that question hard.
Well, I just, some guy worked hard for 2 years and wanted to do something perfectly and did it. And surprise, surprise, couldn't.
No, that's like what I mean. But now you're talking about it like that. It. Obviously, like, it's, you are like practicing for so long.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, it's like moving to another country and maybe just getting the tang of the accent or whatever.
Absolutely. People spend 6 weeks in London and come back speaking like Ray Winston. Like, you know, I know people that have spent less time in America and have come back saying
100%.
Getting parking.
I tried to do that when I'd go on trips when I was little and I'd go away to America for 2 weeks and try and come back with an American accent. Yeah. People would be like,
nice. I think that was a big.
No.
That was a bit blown out of
proportion. So tell me though, that movie though, that looked so fun.
That was awesome
to be a part of. Yeah. Like, was that like great?
There's not that many movies that are that big.
No.
And that awesome. And there's not that many movies where you get to work and there's 400 people dressed
it's
as the
crazy.
1960s.
Yeah.
And all you go into like
the outfits and like the set design. It was great.
Were you living in Byron or the Goldie?
No, it was COVID, so we're on the Goldie.
But that's why you came and stayed with me after, and we had the bit, and I asked so many questions about Elvis. Like, I was so intrigued by working on that movie.
It was
like,
awesome. It was awesome. And Baz Luhrmann is a genius.
And Baz, because
it's so exciting.
Yeah.
Baz Luhrmann would be like the dream person to meet.
Yeah, he's
pretty
cool.
So talented.
He's a really, really intelligent and like engaging and charming person.
Yeah.
It's really, he's a real kind of sage wizard of a man.
I know, he intrigues me.
His ability to connect with people like instantaneously is like quite magical, actually. He's got a real kind of magical quality to him.
Because you were saying you auditioned or met him first on Zoom or something. Did you tell me? I swear we had that combo. Like, your first encounter with him maybe was?
Yeah, I kind of got an email saying, hey, Baz wants to call you about this role. And so basically I was like, yeah, tell him to give me a call. FaceTime comes through.
Were you really nervous? Or you just had to act called? You just have to be like, oh, yeah, whatever.
I mean,
To talk to him, yeah, like, he's such a big deal, I suppose.
Like, I mean, because his reputation as a filmmaker precedes him. You want to hopefully have something intelligent to say, and didn't know much about the film or what it was going to be. You know, I know it was the Elvis film, but you don't really know what it's going to be. And like, did a little bit of research about the character in it, but basically just sat and talked to him. And he's such a charming, like engaging, intelligent man that the conversation flowed really easy. And after an hour, he was like, yeah, I've seen your work and you're really good and we'd love you to come up and do the job. And
what's that feeling like after you have that confirmation from such a big deal as well? You're like, fuck yeah, I'm going out.
I wish every job was this easy to get.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was cool.
That was sick. And then what was like, how about like hanging out with, did you know, was Austin Butler a big deal before? I can't even remember what.
I don't know.
He's done a few movies. I think he'd been in
Did you know who he
Once
was?
Upon
like,
a Time.
Once Upon a Time.
But
yeah,
I wasn't mates with him before.
No.
I don't think I'd met him before.
And how was like after, that was quite a long process because of COVID. Was that longer? I feel like you would have been around those people in Queensland for like, that would have been quite an intense kind of, I don't know, kind of movie to be filming because you're pretty on top of each other, getting to know everyone pretty quickly.
I mean, I wasn't on before COVID happened. I wasn't on it, and then when it came back, I was on it for the filming, which was still 6 months, which is a long time, and we couldn't go anywhere. We all lived in the same building.
I remember you saying that, and everyone was having like things on, like social things in the building as well. Everyone was like,
there was an epic restaurant downstairs below the building, and we all kind of have a glass of wine.
What
after
was
work
the restaurant?
It's called Social. It's great. Right behind Peppers.
Oh, yes,
that place, yeah. It was awesome. We just, you know, it was our home basically. And then I also had some good friends like outside of the film up there that I made that were awesome and nice to like step out every now and then of that. But no, it's like going on the longest school camp.
I know, that sounds fun.
It is so much fun. Yeah. You become really, really close and have an amazing time. And yeah, work's really fun. And you know, a lot of us, you know, we're all trying to do a really, really great job and there's pressure of it because you know it's a big thing. But then, you know, then you see AB doing his thing and he's like, he's got the real pressure. Like,
What was that like up close watching him take
really
that
impressive
role on and stuff? Yeah,
like, so
pretty
impressive.
Cool.
Like, knowing how much work went into it and how much, how much time and how it was just completely his life.
Yeah, it's impressive.
So and then it was actually really, in a way, remember there was a day before one of the Las Vegas hotel scenes before he goes on and does this huge kind of 10-minute performance to 400 extras and kind of seeing him psych up as Elvis just before he goes like behind the curtain just before he goes on. And I remember being a little like envious of that pressure.
Yeah.
Not that he was Elvis because I wouldn't want to be Elvis in like, I don't know.
Are you a triple threat energy?
No, exactly. So I can't like, I'm not very... Can't very good singer, can't play any music.
I feel like you probably could though.
I mean, I'm sure if like, I tried and like practiced, I'm sure I could get something out, but I'm not like, I've never done it before, but put your mind to something, I'm sure I could maybe learn something.
So I love the confidence from you.
You
should message Selena and do some voice lessons.
Do some voice coaching, yeah.
She's a really talented singer.
She's a bit busy to teach this.
No, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I think she'd find the time for you, Luke.
Sorry, but yeah, you saw him.
And so just like that was kind of, to see that pressure is a really...
Yeah.
Just like, oh wow, that looks. I mean, I think pressure is a privilege, right?
Yeah.
So when you get nervous and you're coming up to big things, that's why you do this.
Humbling.
Like, pressure is a privilege.
The only reason you got pressure on you is because you've made it up here,
and you want to do
you've
well.
Done,
yeah.
You're doing what the thing you want to do.
That's a good way of putting.
So when you do feel pressure, I always think, someone told me that one time, and I just always thought, oh, that's such a great and true thing.
Analogy.
You know, I think a lot of sportsmen. I've seen a lot of sports people talk about it and they say pressure is a privilege and they go, I'm here, this is because I'm at the top.
Yeah.
Like, oh, were you, did you feel the pressure out there? They're like, absolutely.
And that felt great.
It.
Yeah, that's so true. I worked
so hard to feel this pressure. Yeah. If I wasn't feeling this pressure, I wouldn't be doing the thing.
No. And that's when you drop the clutch, I suppose, because you're not feeling like.
It's also when you're not doing the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You're sitting in comfort. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling pressure, it doesn't matter.
You're not feeling, yeah.
So Luke, on that note, you would have gotten so many little bits of advice from people over the years.
Yeah.
You said like 3 one-liners that I'll be writing in my journal, but like, do you have a few more for me?
Yeah, I got a few.
Hit me.
I remember on like a basic acting one, an actor told me one time we were rehearsing for a scene and kind of had our little sides, and he wasn't saying kind of half the words, and he was an older actor than me, and I was young, and kind of after the rehearsal, I kind of pulled him aside. I was like, hey man, like, I don't give a fuck, but
yeah.
I was, why did you, what's with the not saying all the lines? And he goes, son, they pay the writers for the words, they pay the actors for the silence. And I was like, oh, what a line. I'll never forget that.
Wow. Yeah.
Never forget that.
That really speaks to my soul.
I had another one from, obviously Ray Winston told me to take everything, but then he had another one where I was doing Point Break, and that was a huge shoot. It was 6 months, 10 countries. It was the hardest thing like I'll probably ever do. And we had about, We were sitting in a canoe on a river in the middle of Venezuela near Angel Falls.
Oh.
And we had about 2 weeks left of the whole shoot. We were going to do a week here, and then we were going to go to like Mont Blanc in the Italian side and do some stuff there. And Ray was sitting there, and we're sitting opposite each other in this canoe in between takes. And he's like, how are you, son? You doing all right? And I was like, yeah, man. Like,
Pretty tired.
Excited, like,
shucka.
2 weeks to go, 3 weeks to go. And he goes, oi, kid, there's always 3 months left. And that was great advice to know that, like, you got to sprint through that finish line.
Yeah.
Like, no one watching the movie knows there was 2 weeks left and you've been filming for 5 months and you're really tired. It's like every day is day one.
Yes.
That is such good advice.
You got to sprint through that finish line. You can't get there and be like, oh, I'm a bit tired. Like,
can't really be fucked. I've done a good job halfway through.
No, you've got to go all the way through. So that was some good bits.
It's a good one for a runner as well, like if they're running at the end there.
And also I can apply that to my own life with tutoring, at the 9 p.m. slot where I'm like, fuck my life. Bring the energy.
You got to bring it. And I was able to like bestow that one time, which felt really good when I was doing a film called Danger Close, the Battle of Long Tan, Australian movie about the Battle of Long Tan, obviously. And I remember day one and there was a few young, like most of the cast were kind of young guys that were maybe doing their first proper job and first film. And we were on this minibus on the way to set first day, and it was 5 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's there and everyone's like psyched. You know, you can see everyone's, we're about to go to war and this first movie, and everyone's so excited, and there was all a lot of chatter on the bus. And I remember kind of sitting there going, hey guys. And they're like, I was like, how awesome is this, hey? And they're like, oh, this is so sick. I'm like, you guys excited? They're like, yeah. I'm psyched too. And I was like, wait guys, remember this feeling, hey, because you know, in a couple of weeks time when we're a bit tired and a bit cold and a bit wet, we're going to have to remember this, like how awesome we felt here, and we've got to always bring that and always keep it up. And it was nice to be able to kind of
impart the knowledge
that I'd learned, and also because it's in all our best interests.
Yeah.
Because the movie's going to be better if we're all putting in 100% every day.
Yeah.
So stuff like that is
I like that.
Yeah. I love all
I
of those
I wanted to
quotes.
End as well on the – I had one more question about – because I was listening again to a podcast about – dealing with rejection, and I thought that was a good question to ask you because you're in the industry of where you would get knocked down all the time and just you know obviously there's so many like silver linings in the job and great wins, but there'd be so many times that you felt like shit, you know how do you deal with rejection now, like coming on from like what you've been in the industry now for, you said over 10 years, 15 years,
whatever it is. It's a funny thing, someone asked me this the other day and they're like, so when do they call you and let you know? And I'm like, like, if I get the job, I'll get a call. But if I don't get the job, I'll never know.
Yeah.
I'll just know that I didn't get the job.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. But something I learned pretty early on that there's so many factors that go into me getting a job that are outside my control, right? So coming back to what is it that I can control? I can control getting ready for an audition. I can control my preparation for that. I can control getting there on time. Hopefully doing a good job, hopefully harnessing my nerves, all those things. If I can control those things, and do a most amazing job and do the best acting I've ever done in my life, there's still a high chance I won't get the job.
Mm.
And that is because maybe I'm not quite the person that the director has envisioned for this character, or they decide to then change the character, or I look like a person that that bullied the director in high school and they just don't like me. You know, like there's so many other factors that go into a job and a reason for getting one, a reason for not getting one, that I was really lucky to learn that early on. And the guy that told me pressure is a privilege, he was a sports psychologist. And so he had another thing, and that was all about what you can control. And so he did work with quarterbacks in the NFL, Russell Wilson and stuff. And those things of losing a game of in sport, losing a sporting match, you can do everything perfectly, but someone else can just do something else and counter that, right? And so there's so many things where if you can get your mind away from external influences and variants that you have no control over, and then use energy spent worrying on that into energy spent improving what you can do and what you have control over, then hopefully you can be disappointed, sure. Oh God, I really would have liked to have done that. But you can't be disappointed in yourself. And that's kind of one thing I learned pretty early on, that, okay, if I can be disappointed coming out of an audition, if I was like, I didn't really do enough work on that, or I could have done better there. I could have, you know, that's when I'm disappointed. Not if I don't get the job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little like, as I said, you know, oh, that would have been good. I would have liked that one. But no, if I've controlled my environment and controlled everything I can, then therefore I can't be disappointed or I can't be sad. Yeah, I can know that I've done a good job, and through just doing that audition, I've become a little bit better.
Just
at my
wasn't
job
your
as well.
Time then. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. What's next then for you?
I'm supposed to do a film here in Australia. We're supposed to film kind of this summer, but it got pushed because of the actors' strike last year. They couldn't kind of get their ducks in a row in time. And so hopefully that will film here in Australia in the middle of the year.
Oh,
hopefully.
Nice. So we'll have you back.
Yeah, fingers crossed. You know, as I said, I never know until they press the red button and
literally.
Say action.
But you've got the film.
Yeah. It's just if the film can come together and if the money's all there and if all the pieces, you know, it's a logistical nightmare making a film. So just trying to get all the pieces involved and stuff like that.
Are you an Aussie in the film or an American?
I'll be playing an Australian in the film. Film.
We love that.
Yeah. Oh. And then I've got like other stuff that I'm kind of working on personally when it comes to films. Like film I've written with a friend, trying to get that made, and that's been an exciting process and just kind
congrats.
Of really ramping up. So
you were telling me that the other night. Yeah. That's big.
So hopefully that comes together. It's kind of the next kind of
I feel like that's definitely naturally in the next step.
Yeah, for me, I think so.
For you. As a good writer as well.
Yeah, I think it's just something that I've been interested in and just gaining a little bit of confidence to go out and do it. But it's certainly not an easy thing, but something that I think will be extremely
challenging as well.
And extremely satisfying. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, girls.
Thank
good
you so
you.
Much. Yeah. That was so good.
It's been long-awaited interview with with
we've been
you.
Trying for a while.
Very wise soul you are.
Oh, thank you, darling.
He is. Yeah.
Well, he's been
loved those words.
Had to become independent at a young age.
I put on my big boy pants pretty early. Yeah, didn't have a choice.
All right, ciao for now.
Thanks, guys.